the teenager found herself terribly depressed and discouraged with the relationship she had with her parents. She was at a great loss how she was feeling and struggling. She did not like her role as it was being defined, what was expected of her. She did not like how the relationship had been lived out. And so what she decided to do was to make a list of her concerns, to write them all out in great detail. Now, these concerns were not raised by a television psychologist or by a talk show host. It wasn't a magazine article talking about teenage life. No one was telling her what the relationship should be like or look like. But her concerns and her issues simply came from her heart. It was there that she struggled. And so then she took her list and she shared it with her father and her mother. After studying them, they all sat down. And they said to her that they wouldn't accept any of them. They didn't agree with her at all. Furthermore, she was told to take back everything she had written. Deny each and every issue, each and every word. And she found out that she couldn't do this. With great trepidation, she could not do this. And so then she was kicked from her house, never to return. Not to speak of this with anyone. A scene such as that is probably, unfortunately, all too familiar. It plays out probably far too often in many relationships and many households, where you have young people searching and discovering their roles in life, of who they are and their identities. In far too many homes, there is that division. In far too many homes, there are those who yield power over those whom are young and vulnerable. And so I use that illustration to get at the depth of our feelings. An illustration to more or less describe Martin Luther and the church of his day. Because the church was his family. And so Luther raised issues from his study of Scripture. It was Scripture that framed his thoughts. To his learning, his questioning, his growing, his understandings. And so as he grew in this way, it tore at his heart. For he was not the one in power. He was the one who found himself vulnerable. But from his studies and from his questions, he too formed a list we know as these 95 Theses. And on All Saints' Eve of the year 1517, he did what was commonly done when issues were raised and put them on the door of the castle in Wittenberg, Germany. 499 years ago tomorrow. And so his list was posted then to encourage discussion, but no one would listen. He was told to take his words back, to renounce them, and he could not. And so he was expelled. Cast out from his family. In the years to come, any people who followed the teachings of Luther, paid attention to them, were criticized as being Lutherans. This was not a name that Luther took upon himself, but they were branded as Lutherans. They were ridiculed as Lutherans. And it was the beginning of what we know as the Reformation. The purpose of this Reformation was an attempt to correct, to amend, to make change that would be lasting, to form anew. And I emphasize the idea of beginning. It is the beginning of looking on how to correct and change, a reformation that is ongoing. For Luther, he continued his studies. He continued to ponder the Scriptures, and he continued to write. The church and the generations that have come since have looked at how the world changes and how issues arise that need to be studied and discussed and to be visited and revisited over and over and over again. There is also a reformation in our own lives. For we ourselves live in a state of flux. Relationships are changing all the time. Society impacts us. Families and friends and loved ones affect our stances and our positions that we take. For Martin Luther, the emphasis was on the use of Scripture. Not the positions the church had taken, but Scripture alone. Luther focused much on the writings of the Apostle Paul and the understanding that we lived under the power of sin. Sin is not just what we do, but sin has a hold of us. And the laws that existed, the teachings of the Scripture, revealed and unmasked the sin in our lives and unmasked the hold that sin has on us. For often, we would state that we do what we like. But really, we do as sin likes. For sin is its power. And Luther said that any laws of the church, no matter how well we would try to fulfill them, could not shield us from punishment of God, from our separation with God. For Luther, this is where the church seemed to be stuck. It had even perhaps regressed by putting pressure on the individual, by punishing the individual and placing fear in their lives. Many of you like shopping. You know very well that I do not. But we've all been through different stores, whether malls or downtown or so forth, where you have those shops that have those fragile, expensive things. So often we like going through them and looking at them, and you might see a sign. Familiar signs, the signs that say, like, lovely to look at, delightful to hold, but if you break it, consider it sold. Which makes sense. We could probably all live with that and understand the repercussions of breaking something and having to pay for it. But to really put fear into your lives, there was a store that had a different sign. It said, nice to look at, nice to hold, but if you break it, you will receive 5 free kittens. That will cause you to pause. It was in that way that the church was serious, pressuring the individual, emphasizing individual failures. But a change for Martin Luther came from two transitional words in the writings of Paul to the Romans. But now. But now. There was a then, and there is a now. For through Jesus, God had intervened. With Jesus, God had brought great change. And because of Jesus, now is opportunity for new relationship. To be righteous. To be in a right relationship. To be in right standing with God. To bridge what had divided us from God. And Luther would emphasize it's just not knowledge of this relationship, but a reality that the relationship is ours. That each one of us walk hand in hand with God in our journey through life. It is a relationship that is shared. Experiences that we live out together. And the presence of God in this relationship is evident in our faith. Faith is evidence that God is at work, that God is present, that God is journeying with us. And Paul writes that all is set right by His grace as a gift. And there's no distinction among us of what we are, of what we do. We are sinners. And we sin. But this bondage has been removed. The chains have been broken. And what we are given is a new standing, a new relationship. For all has been set right. And that we are free. Free from fear. Free from ourselves, free from others, we are free. There was a workshop that was well attended. It was about diet and good health. And so it was led by a nationally known person who was really passionate about good health, watching one's diet. Would often come across very strongly. And so one of the sessions, the lecture focused on the problems of dining out. And the lecturer emphasized to make sure to look at the options that are on the menu. Feel free to ask questions, find out about ingredients that were used, how food is prepared. To be careful about the portions that are consumed. And so after this particular seminar, after this session, the lecturer then asked, well, what then is the greatest problem you may encounter when dining out? And a woman raised her hand and she said, running into you. How easy it is for us to fail and to live in fear. But by God's grace, we are free. It is ongoing, this reformation. The transformation continues. We continue to open our hearts and our minds, continue to listen and to learn, focus on what is important and what is not. Luther emphasized how we are trapped in our relationship to sin. But he looks beyond that relationship. Really, the church was a secondary focus because the church was a messenger, and he questioned the message of the church. His focus was our relationship with sin. That in which we find ourselves bound. But how we are not to lose heart. For God has intervened. And now, we are free. Amen. Thank you.